Reminds me of those times in the Bible, in the book, in the book of Psalms, especially where David appeared to be talking to himself, and he would say, "Listen up, O my soul, listen." And he talked to himself, and in that song it says, "Don't get shy on me, soul. Let's worship the Lord." Amen. Praise God. Turn with me this morning. We're going to get right into the scriptures, and because we are going to be doing communion here in a few minutes, I want to share a few thoughts with you, and then we'll serve communion. And so, in the best interest of time, we won't spend a lot of time with announcements tonight, today, but we will make announcements tonight. I do want to make the church aware that, as you've been doing now for several weeks, after the altar service and time spent praying and after communion, of course, please stay if you can for a short meeting. The board is going to make a special announcement today, so please be mindful of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is where I'm going to read this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. When it comes to talking about communion and preaching on communion, we have many scriptures that we could choose from. Three of the Gospels, of course, record in detail the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. John, curiously, does not record the actual event. But his gospel earlier tells the story of where Jesus explained how important it was to eat his body and drink his blood, and was a message of itself. So we could choose from all of those, but I'm going to read this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse number 23. The Apostle Paul speaking, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." We'll stop reading there, ask the Lord's blessing on the remainder of this service, and ask his will to be done. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again for this special service today. I pray, Lord, for the liberty of the Holy Ghost to be able to preach from your word on this wonderful and powerful subject, and that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And once again, everybody say amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Praise God. I sense a seriousness that has come over the congregation, and I appreciate that, but you are still allowed to say amen, amen, during the preaching. There's a lot to say amen to here. So I want to try to preach to you. This is the title that I've chosen this morning, I believe, by the leading of the Lord, because there's something specific that I want to get to here. But I want to preach to you on seeing the Lord in the Lord's Supper. Seeing the Lord in the Lord's Supper. And by that, of course, I'm hinting that we want to do more than just go through the ritual and routine of communion. And we want to, while all of our traditions about communion are important to us, make sure that we're not so knowledgeable about what this means that we overlook some things. Because I believe that it's important for us to focus on the main thing, and Jesus is the main thing. And when we go to the Lord's table and we take the Lord's Supper, we need to see the Lord in it. Amen. Before we get to that, though, there's a couple of things that I want to bring to your attention. And first of all, just because this is our first time to take communion together, I do love the communion service. And as a pastor, all through the years, I have practiced the serving of communion and on a regular basis. Different churches we've been at do it in different ways at different times. Maybe not necessarily every place does it every month, but I have been in places in my travels where they didn't celebrate communion at all. Pentecostal churches, holiness churches, and I speak that to their shame. And when I would serve communion there, oftentimes people would come to me in great excitement and thank me, Brother Blue, thank you for serving communion. It has been a long time since we have taken it. I believe in communion. Amen. It's powerful. I've been known even as an evangelist, as a guest speaker at a church, to feel the Holy Ghost move upon me to serve communion to that congregation because I could sense and feel the importance of how communion brings people together. It's a humbling time. It's important to revival. And oftentimes, the communion service was a springboard to having real, lasting revival. Can you say amen to that? One time I was preaching at a youth camp in the South, and I'll just leave it at that. And one day, in the later part of the day, Brother Dallas Messer, how many of you know Brother Messer? Anybody here? A few of you do. Brother Dallas Messer, great man of God, very intellectual man, I highly respect. He called me. And he said, "Hey, Brother Blue, this is Brother Messer. I'm traveling today. Had you on my mind. Where are you at today?" I said, "Well, Brother Dallas, I am down in the South preaching a youth camp this week. And I am wrestling with something. And I'm glad that you called me. I am wrestling with what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart to serve communion in a youth camp, and I don't know that that's ever been done before." Brother Messer surprised me by screaming in my ear, "Do it, Brother Blue, do it, do it," because many of those young people attend churches where they don't do it, and they need to be taught and reminded of the importance of communion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I wished I could hear Brother Messer's voice this morning say, "Do it, Brother Blue, do it." Amen. We're going to take communion together. It's right. It's important. It's powerful, meaningful. Now, this text that I've chosen this morning, I'm gonna give an overview here because we'll get onto this the specifics, the details of my message in just a moment. But to understand the context, let's look at an overview. And I believe that there are some main points of division in this group of scriptures that the Apostle Paul gives to us in chapter 11 here. First of all, I believe that the Apostle Paul is reminding us of the command to take communion. He doesn't use that forceful word command, but I do believe that we are commanded to take communion. And there are several ways that we receive that command. First of all, in the institution of it itself by Jesus himself. He was the one that developed this. He is the one that called his disciples together and first did it and instituted it by repeating to them that as often as you do this in remembrance of me. It was an institution that he established in order to clarify and to document the New Testament. He said, "This is the New Testament in my blood. This is the New Testament in my body." So this establishes, this institution is a revelation to us of the New Testament. Secondly, I believe that we are commanded to do communion by the instruction of it. Just the fact that the scripture says, this do in remembrance of me. And there's a third factor here that I believe can be considered a commandment of sorts, and it is the fact that Paul, He's an apostle, but he was not with the original disciples. He was one born out of due season. He came later in the book of Acts. We see his salvation, conversion, and calling. But Paul wasn't there. He wasn't one of the original 12 disciples. But he says here to us in verse 23, "I have received of the Lord." This is a revelation by the Holy Ghost to the Apostle Paul. And by revelation, Paul could see exactly how it happened as if he was there. "I received this revelation from the Lord, and I've delivered it to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And so Paul has a very clear image and picture in his mind because God has given him a revelation concerning it. And he's driving home the importance that we do not abandon communion, that we don't lay it aside. We are supposed to do this. Now, also in this chapter, we see that there are some cautions. And Paul is addressing these concerns, these cautions, because while this Corinthian church was practicing communion, they had got way out of line with the way that they were doing it. It was not the traditional communion as Jesus intended. They've lost the sacredness of it, and so many things needed to be corrected. And so Paul gives us some cautions here, and he drives that home by saying, examine yourselves when you're taking communion. Amen. Don't let any man eat and drink condemnation on himself. Do not eat and drink unworthily. I'm cautioning you. Don't do this lightheartedly and unworthily. Now, let me just pause here to say that none of us here this morning should consider ourselves worthy. Hello? Not in ourself, not by our own works, not by our own salvation, not by our own ability. We did not save ourselves. We did not make ourselves holy. We have never made ourselves and consider ourselves to be worthy. But he has called us worthy, and he has made us worthy. And those that he is referring to here as unworthy are those who, I believe, have not had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. They have not received the Lord personally as their Savior. They have not converted and repented from their sins and turned to Christ. They don't understand the meaning of this at all, and that is a desecration to the communion. We need to examine ourselves and make sure that we're doing this in the right way. And he also says later on to judge yourself. He said in verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." So there is a certain amount of soul searching here for all of us to judge ourselves and examine ourselves. And these are the cautions that we should be concerned about this morning. And then two other things that outline these scriptures in my mind, and that is what I'm calling the challenge here in these verses, and that is found in verse number 25 and verse number 24. And he says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament." There it is again, the New Testament in my blood. "This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." That word "oft," I think, hints at no special allotted time, no special series of schedules of when to do it, but "oft" or "often" means it shouldn't be forgotten or neglected or only done once every 10 years, all right? So whether regularly once a week or once a month or whatever, we find that balance, and when we do it in remembrance of him. But here's my challenge in verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show," shoe, the King James Version spelling there, the Lord's death till he come. Now, I want to use that word shoe, show. Allow me to say it that word. That word showing means to manifest, to show, to reveal. It actually comes from a word that could indicate to act out, to act it out, a reenactment, which actually is what communion is. A reenactment of the Last Supper of the Lord with his disciples. And in this acting out or this reenactment, there are certain things that we need to see. So the showing forth opens up a window for us to see some things in this celebration of the Lord's Supper. So with that idea of seeing, showing, and seeing, I want to talk to you about six things that we should see in the Lord's Supper. I want to see the Lord as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Amen. We need a fresh experience with Jesus, don't we? Amen. And we want to draw close to him in this time. And so let me just tell you a few things that I see about seeing the Lord in the Lord's Supper. Amen. First of all, I want us to see the Lord's sacrifice. Amen. When we break this bread and we drink this cup, of course we are reenacting, amen, the brokenness of Christ's body and the shedding of Christ's blood. It is a remembrance of those things. It is a reminder to us that we should be reflecting upon the cross. Remember, at the Last Supper, Jesus hadn't yet gone to the cross. This was a preview. This was him telling them in advance, I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to suffer. My body is going to be broken. Now, the scripture tells us that none of his bones were broken, which was miraculous in itself and a study all of its own. None of his bones were broken, but was he broken? Oh, yes. He was broken in many ways. Amen. His skin and flesh were broken. He was beaten on his back and bloodied almost inhumanely. There was the crown of thorns upon his head, piercing and breaking his skin there. There was the piercing of his side with the long soldier's spear that literally not only broke through his skin, but broke through his heart. And while he literally died of a broken heart, amen, you could say spiritually and emotionally, Christ died with a broken heart. His brokenheartedness was for us. He loved us. He cares about us. And he is sacrificing himself in order to purchase our salvation. I'm glad for the sacrifice of Jesus here today. Amen. I've often said, I'm not glad that he had to suffer, but if it was the only way to save me, then I am glad that he was willing to suffer on our behalf. Amen. Let's see, as we take our communion elements this morning, the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And let me insert here that when we do this reenactment of the communion, I believe, and I know that as Pentecostals, we have this shared belief, but let me explain in case we have visitors here today that might not be aware. We don't believe that there is anything transformative about the juice and the crackers that we will take in a few minutes. That there are denominations that believe in what they call transformation or the transfiguration of the elements. Transubstantiation is the technical term, where when the priest prays over it, the crackers instantly become the actual body of Jesus, and the juice becomes the blood of Jesus, and that's how you're saved, is by internalizing those elements. We don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I believe that it will still be crackers, it will still be juice, but sanctified as a symbol to us today. All right? That doesn't decrease in any way the importance of holding that cracker and thinking about the body of Jesus. And holding this juice and thinking about the blood of Jesus. I want to see the sacrifice of Jesus in the Lord's Supper. Also, related to that, I want to see, I want to see the Lord serving in the Lord's Supper. This is also an important message to us because he was the one that initiated this communion service and he was the one that served it. He literally took the cup and he blessed it and he gave it to them and said, take this and drink it. And then he took the reverse. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, here, take this. And so we see the Lord, he set the whole thing up. He told the disciples where to find the upper room to meet to do this. And he called them all together, which is going to be an important end point to my message today. He called them all together and he instituted all of this. And he's the one that is serving here. And if you go back before the actual dinner, the supper that day, he does an amazing thing by wrapping a towel around him and getting a basin of water and washing the feet of all of the disciples. Don't get nervous. We're not going to do foot washing here this morning. But I have been in many places where you can't separate the two. If you're going to have a communion service, you do foot washing as well. I believe that a foot washing service is appropriate from time to time. Again, Jesus said that we ought to wash one another's feet. And there's times that we need to have a humbling and a time together where we reenact that as well as a reminder. But I believe myself that the foot washing and the communion are different. And Jesus did not say, here, take this shoe and remember, the foot washing. But he did say, take the bread and remember, and take the cup and remember. His service. I want you to see the Lord's sincerity here. The Lord's sincerity. I want you to see him praying over these elements. He blessed them and he prayed over them. This is dear to Jesus' heart. He's not taking this lightly. This is important to him. He's praying and he's pleading. Listen with me just a few minutes in your imagination and imagine the Lord at his last supper with the disciples and he's pleading with the disciples and he says, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's just put it in a slightly different wording and imagine that Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior, amen, the God of eternity, been made flesh, and he has worked miracles among them, and they have seen him do tremendous things and heard powerful words come out of his mouth, and he's saying, don't forget me. Don't forget me. I can almost imagine they didn't. It's not recorded anyways, but I can imagine myself saying, forget you, Lord? How could we ever forget you? Forget what you've done? Forget what you've said? How can we ever forget you? But Jesus was concerned about that, and he said, don't forget me. Remember me. Remember what I've done. I want you to see along with me this morning. I want you to see the Lord pleading with you. Remember me. I also want us to see, amen, the Lord's second coming. For it is mentioned here in the scriptures. I read to you here in 1 Corinthians where in verse 26 he said, you do show the Lord's death till he come. This is something we're supposed to do till he come. Everybody say, till he come. That means he's coming. How many of you believe Jesus is coming back? We need to remember that and let's see that because when we read the gospel accounts of the Last Supper, Jesus actually says to the disciples, I will not eat this again with you until, amen, until we eat it together in that day. There's coming a day we're going to eat together again. This is our last supper here on earth, but it's not our last supper permanently. We're going to eat together again because he's coming back, praise God. I think the Lord's Supper is a good time to reflect on the fact that we're going to eat together with him again someday. And this reminds us of that. I think we need to see the salvation that we have at the Lord's Supper. And back to that idea of eating and drinking unworthily. None of us are worthy in ourselves, but He has made us worthy. We know that we are saved today by faith, and that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. He has given us the ability to call upon Him and the opportunity to truly be saved. He wants to save us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's His will for us to be saved. And we gather together today to celebrate communion as a family, an assembly of saved people who are thankful to God for what He has made available to us. And then there's one final thing here on my list of six things that we should see. Amen. When looking for the Lord in the Last Supper, I want us to see His summons. Now, I struggled over this word because, you might notice I kind of like alliteration. That means using all words that start with the same letter. Sometimes I use rhyming words. I like words. So I got to my sixth point, and there's something that I want to say that is important to our communion today, and I couldn't get the right word. And summons isn't perfect, but I don't want you to think of it as a legal term, in the sense you're being summoned, you know, to that. But there is another definition of the word summons, and it means a calling together, a calling to appear, a calling to come together, summoning us to come together. This idea is found a little bit later in the chapter, in verse number 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, when you come together, this idea of being summoned to come together. And Jesus said that as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And He's summoning us, calling to us, do this and come together on it. And it reminds me of a summons in the book of Revelation where Jesus Himself is seen in this kind of a pitiful picture among the churches. He is knocking on the door of the church, and He's speaking from the outside. And He is saying, if any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. There is a summoning of the Lord. Don't leave me on the outside. Let me come in. I want to come in. Amen. And if you'll let me come in, there's going to be a personal fellowship between us. I want to come in and not just be the demanding judge of your life, as some of you imagine. I want to be your friend, your savior and your friend, your companion. I want to sit down and sup with you, and you supping with me, to enjoy each other's company and have this supper together. Y'all with me this morning? Praise God. I think we need to see that in the Lord's Supper. We need to see the summons of the Lord to come around the Lord's table and have supper with Him, to gather together with each other, but with Him, the knowledge that He is with us. He's present here today, and He is summoning us all to draw closer to Him. Come on, get a little closer. Come on up here. Let's fellowship together. Let's enjoy our dinner together, this Lord's Supper. Now, before we move into the actual communion service, I'd like to send out a summons this morning. If you're one of those that may be feeling this morning your own unworthiness, that you realize you're not a Christian, or you once were, but you've fallen away, and you know that your heart is not right with God right now, that the lingering shadows of your sin are haunting you as you realize you're not in that place with God that you need to be. This is not intended to scare you away and draw attention to your own unworthiness. It's an intention of the Lord to summon you. Come on in. Open the door. You can change all of that. You can change it right now in this service, in this moment. You can open up your heart and invite Jesus in and discover a whole new relationship with Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand together this morning, and then I'm going to give you instructions on communion. And as the musicians get in place, they have a song prepared for us today. But I want to pray, before we move on, I want to pray that if there be any among us here today that aren't saved, a backslider that is away from God, and you need, you want this morning to get back to God and right with God, we will postpone all of our plans for this service to help you get back to God. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. I've been asking God this week to make this a convicting service. I'd love for somebody to get back to the Lord and get back in fellowship with Him. Let's ask the Lord to move. Oh, God, we need your help today. We need you, oh, Jesus. We need you, Lord, to take charge of this part of the service. To come in, oh, Lord God, to come into our church service, to come into our celebration of your Last Supper, and to come into our hearts, Lord, including the lost among us, I pray, whether a young person or an older person, Lord, appeal to them. Draw them, summon them today in Jesus' name. This altar is open anytime. You can get saved in a moment back there where you stand. Just call out to God and ask Him to forgive you. Repent, ask Jesus to come in. It's not complicated. It just has to be sincere and real. Or if you want to get to this altar is open. Praise God. I got to tell you, when I was preparing this message and praying over this and looking at this, Brother Cruz, and I saw the Lord summoning us, calling to us, it really affected how I want to do communion service this morning. I worked really hard this week. Get all the information I could, Sister Rebecca, about how you normally do communion service. I've reached out a week or so ago, told the board. I had it in my notes from Brother Hurst that first Sunday of each month we celebrate communion. So we started the process of getting ready for that. I knew in advance that Brother Tim and Sister Judy Kaser would prepare that for us, which they did, and I appreciate that. And then I needed to understand something about the logistics, the ebb and flow of how you serve and all of that. The board gave me lots of details. Brother Ralph Heath even came yesterday and helped me walk through how you normally do it. And now I'm about to throw all of that out the window. Brother Jeremy picked out 6 men to help serve, and I do appreciate that, and we are going to use them. I feel as interim pastor that I want to bring as much of a sense of normalcy as I possibly can. And then I realize there's not much normal about me, Brother Steve. Sorry. Here's what I'd like to do. As often as you come together, I want us to come together this morning. I want us to literally gather around the Lord's table up here. I want us to make that little extra effort of stepping out of our pew and coming together to be a part of it. This is how I envisioned it in my time of prayer. I'm going to ask the board to join me up on the platform. I know some of the board is going to help serve. That's all right. I want the servers to continue to serve. Some are out of town, but those that remain, would you join me on the platform up here? And in this sense, they're on this side of the table. I want the servers to come. I think there's six. I'll put three on each side of the communion table. So if you've been asked to help serve, thank you for coming. And Brother McKelvey is going to help me, assist me here this morning. It just sort of be fitting that he takes Brother Brian's place, who we miss here this morning. So I'm going to have Brother Keith help me this morning. And the rest of you, I want you to just come in as close as you can. Fill in all of these gaps up here around the front. And if you can't get any closer than the first or second pew, just get as close as you can. The servers are still going to come around. They're going to serve you where you stand. And we're going to pray together over this. But I want this to be part of the reenactment as we take the broken bread and the cups of juice. Let's come together. Let's gather around the Lord's table. Let's see the Lord in the Lord's Supper, speaking to all of us and drawing us all closer to one another. Come in a little closer. Come on, sit around the table with me, Jesus says. We're all in this together. We're part of a family. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you cooperating this morning. I don't want it to be confusing or chaotic. I just want it to be a little different today. Praise God. With that in mind, we will, let me open my scriptures back up so I can read those to you in a moment. But with that in mind, Brother Keith, if you'll help me, we will pass the trays to the servers. And then they can begin serving the family. And then you and I will serve the board members here on the platform. Is that all right? Okay.
Elusive was the worthiness that I deserved, God's Son. Distraught by useless efforts until he came to me, and sin through debt was canceled by my death on Calvary.
As the servers serve, if you notice people who are unable to make it to the front, would you please be mindful of them and just step back there and serve those that are not able to come? And I didn't take into consideration that there was an uneven amount of trays, because the six people usually divide up into the aisles, and that's, you know, you pass them up and down the rows that way and assist each other. So be patient with us this morning. It may just take a little bit longer, but let's wait on the Lord. be a great time for you to close your eyes and worship the Lord and pray and think about Him.
The guilt that I had self-imposed released its hold on me. The gentle Lamb of God spoke peace from mental chains made free. My soul burst out with music. My heart was filled with praise when I realized that Christ alone through death had fully paid the debt I made. Only grace made me worthy.
Everybody been served? If not, raise your hand and let us be sure and bring some of the elements to you. Everybody? Okay. If you haven't noticed already, there's two cups, and underneath the top cup with the juice is the bread. So if you want to separate them at this point and reach in and get the cracker, let me read to you what Paul said again by revelation from the Lord. I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Brother Steve, would you pray over the breaking of the bread? Thank you, Jesus. Let us all take together. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Brother Cruz, would you ask the blessing on the cup? Let us all take together.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
If you'd like to pass by and leave your cups on the table, but don't go back to your seat just yet. If you can remain while we worship the Lord with this beautiful song, Amazing Grace. I feel the presence of the Lord here this morning. I'm so grateful for that. So grateful for that. And again, it may be in other times they might have come around and gathered the cups from you, but this morning we're lingering at the Lord's table. So pass by, leave your cup there, and then join with us in singing Amazing Grace this morning. God for amazing grace. I tell you, church, as we were talking about the Lord's coming revealed in the Lord's Last Supper, He is coming back, isn't He? And with that in mind, it is especially important that we feel His summoning to all of us to draw closer, get closer, be closer, sup with Him, let Him sup with you on a regular basis, on a daily basis. I'm glad for the goodness of God this morning, aren't you? Hallelujah. We're going to sing this one more time. And I remember the little footnote in the Gospels that said, at the end of the communion service, the Last Supper, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out. That's an interesting little footnote there that those disciples sang together. Maybe not Amazing Grace, but they sang together before they left and worshiped the Lord this morning. I want to encourage you to, after we're done here, to remain for a brief business meeting. But right now, let's sing Amazing Grace one more time together as you return to your seats. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you hug somebody's neck as you go? Shake a hand. Tell somebody you're glad to have them in the family of God. Come on, brothers, encourage one another. And sisters, encourage one another. Thank you, Lord.